Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 46 degrees, breezy, and light rain falling at the airport this morning. It's Wednesday, October 26, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Sitkins will likely get a break on sales taxes this year after the Assembly shied away from suggestions to reduce or move its annual sales tax holiday. At its last meeting, Assembly members pointed to the city's difficult finances and suggested the traditional Thanksgiving weekend sales tax holiday might move to a different weekend or get reduced to just one day. There were four proposals labeled items K through N on the agenda at the Assembly's regular meeting last night, and in the end, they went for the status quo, a two-day sales tax holiday on the Friday and Saturday following Thanksgiving. Assemblymember Terry Blake, who joined the meeting by phone, said the alternative proposals were unfair to downtown business owners.
I really think that we should not be so chintzy to our business owners downtown. We need to be supportive. And I won't support any of these single days. I'm only in support of N, the 25th and 26th. And I think we should really think about the way we're treating our business owners if we try these stunts.
Assemblymember Mim McConnell, also joining the meeting by phone, sponsored the four proposals along with Pete Esquiro. She said she brought the ideas forward after hearing assemblymembers express concern at the last meeting about the budget.
This is another one of those things that's a hard decision. What's the best thing for our budget? Can we do what we've been doing in the more recent years with the sales tax holiday? Can we afford to do that?
The final version, the two-day tax holiday on Thanksgiving weekend, received unanimous support from the Assembly. It will require another reading to become official. That will happen at the Assembly's next meeting, which is scheduled for November 15th. A project to expand Kettleson Memorial Library took a small but critical step forward last night. The Sitka Assembly narrowly gave permission for the library to apply for a state grant. The state money would cover half of the estimated $10 million needed to double the size of the library. Hugh Bevan is a member of the volunteer group studying the feasibility of expanding the library. He said the project would replace an aging facility that's going to have a lot of maintenance needs in the years to come. Plus, Bevan said it could bring economic benefit to Sitka.
The construction estimate is $6.7 million. That would employ 20 to 30 people. And it's pretty easy to get a project of that magnitude. It's pretty easy to spin off $150,000 in sales tax revenue. So there's a strong economic development aspect of projects like this.
A study by the 4-Acre Group compared statistics at Kettleson to other libraries around the state. The Noel Ween Library in Fairbanks serves a population about 10 times that of Sitka. Yet Sitka has more registered borrowers at the library than residents in town. Sitka has a larger collection per capita than Fairbanks and a larger circulation, and the library in Fairbanks, 10 times the size of Sitka's, only gets twice as many people as Sitka. But Martha Schoenthal of the 4-Acre Group said she found one statistic stood out above the rest.
Your library staff maintains 71 hours per week, open hours, and they do it with 7.9 FTEs. Or full-time employee equivalents. And we compare that to Noel Ween, who is open 64 hours a week with a staff of 44 people. So I would say your library staff is giving you superb value for money.
Still, some assembly members had their doubts about whether to give the library permission to apply for the state grant. Assemblymember Tor Christensen wondered where the city's share, more than $4 million, would come from.
I don't feel really comfortable applying for a grant that we know we don't have the match for, that we flat out don't have it. I don't see where we're going to get it.
Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett participated in the feasibility study on the library. She says the vote on last night wouldn't commit the assembly to spending any money, but would simply allow the library to ask the state to cover half the bill.
I'm not convinced that we will end up with a new library at the end, but I am convinced that if we don't take this step, we won't even get the chance to try.
Mayor Cheryl Westover suggested trying again next year for the money. but the consultants working on the project said it's uncertain whether the state grant program will exist next year, and that by then construction costs will have gone up about 3 or 4%. In the end, the assembly gave the library the go-ahead to apply for the grant on a vote of 4-3. Hackett, Christensen, Mike Reif, and Mim McConnell voted yes. Westover, Pete Esquiro, and Terry Blake voted no. If the grant is awarded, the matter will come back before the assembly, which must decide whether to accept the grant. The matter could also go to a public vote to determine whether to fund the city's portion of the project. At the same time, the city is working on a separate project to renovate Centennial Hall. Two public meetings on that project take place today at noon and at 7 p.m. at Harrigan Centennial Hall. A Sitka preservation group that set its sights on a small piece of green space a few weeks ago appears to have hit its target. A small but important piece of land on the city's downtown harbor will soon have a permanent public easement. Thad Polson with the Allen Memorial Preservation Project says the organization has raised enough money to buy the curved strip of land between the tennis courts and Lincoln Street, land which most people consider a part of the Crescent Green Strip or Crescent Park. Polson has played an active role in historic preservation in Sitka for decades, and he's been a relentless advocate for the protection of the entire Crescent Park. The preservation of green space, he says, was pivotal for Sitka's development.
It is anything but an accident. The creation of that park was very much a deliberate and intentional process. It took years and years and years. As a matter of fact, the creation of that park is the reason that the building of Crescent Harbor was even possible.
Before the construction of Crescent Harbor, the area was just Crescent Beach. Sheldon Jackson School controlled much of the uplands and the tidelands. According to Polson, Sheldon Jackson leveraged the creation of the Green Strip.
And they drove a hard bargain back in 1964. They insisted that the city would pass an ordinance, which they did, dedicating the whole length of the park to park purposes.
Sheldon Jackson kept title to the 8,000-square-foot parcel now in question, but allowed the city to incorporate it into Crescent Park as long as it was maintained. When Sheldon Jackson closed and began to liquidate its properties a few years ago, the city appeared to be the obvious buyer for the lot. The property was assessed at $24,000, but the trustees, deeply in debt, were asking $37,000. No one would budge. That's when the Allen Memorial Preservation Project stepped in. Peter Gorman sits on the board.
This little parcel of land really plays a big part in the whole of Lincoln Street that's part of our landscape here in Sitka. Every bit along that streetscape counts.
Allen Memorial sought the assistance of the Southeast Alaska Land Trust, which had brokered another complicated land exchange involving Sheldon Jackson's beachfront property, running from the Sitka Sound Science Center to Sitka National Historical Park. Thanks to the land trust, the city, at no cost, obtained title to the beach in exchange for wetlands which will be lost as a result of airport expansion. The land trust agreed to put up $25,000 toward the $37,000 needed to buy the Crescent lot. When the city still refused to take the deal, Polson and Allen Memorial launched a fundraising campaign which hit its mark on October 21st. The Sitka Fine Arts Camp, which owns the SJ Core campus, will now own the lot, but the land trust will see that the public easement is preserved.
Whatever happens to, and I hope nothing happens to, but whatever happens down the road to the ownership of the Sheldon Jackson campus, this easement is going to go on forever. That land and its use for a public park is nailed down, as it should have been, of course, under that 1964 agreement. But this is making something permanent more permanent.
In the paradox of preservation, all this deal-making has been for the benefit of keeping things pretty much as they are. Like the beautiful beachfront walk from the Sage Building to Totem Park, nothing will change when all the papers have been signed. The outcome of this, when all is said and done, says Polson, will be nothing visible on the ground. It will still be a piece of the park in its historic use. The Fairbanks North Star Borough is seeking to dismiss its lawsuit over Alaska's redistricting plan. The decision comes after the city of Petersburg decided to drop the bulk of its claims, apparently over financial concerns. The borough filed an agreement with the Alaska Redistricting Board yesterday that a judge must still sign off on. It calls for each side to bear its own attorney's fees and costs. The borough would still be allowed to act as a friend of the court. Assistant Borough Attorney Jill Dolan said the decision came down to a matter of resources and shouldn't be seen as a reflection on the strength of the case. She said the Assembly wishes to continue supporting the fight in a non-financial manner. The three lawsuits initially filed over the plan all claim that the redrawn political boundaries would dilute the representation of voters in the new districts. Challenges remain from Fairbanks area residents as well as from Petersburg. Trial is set for January. The redistricting board's executive director, Taylor Bickford, called the recent decisions major developments that, along with the recent preclearance by the U.S. Department of Justice, speak to the integrity of the plan and the integrity of the process. He said the board has been preparing for trial and will continue in that vein. This week, State Court Judge Michael McConaughey granted Petersburg's request to drop all claims except those alleging that its proposed new House district doesn't meet constitutional standards for compactness. Attorney Thomas Klinker said yesterday that the city decided it had committed all the resources to the case that it could, and that going this route would allow for the challenge to continue. Alaskans can turn in expired and unwanted prescription medication Saturday at collection sites around the state as part of National Drug Collection Day. The Federal Drug Enforcement Administration sponsors the event to help make sure unwanted drugs are properly discarded. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation says drugs are collected anonymously. A list of collection sites can be found online at the National Take Back Initiative website. In Sitka, the collection site will be the Public Safety Academy on Sawmill Creek Road. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for rain showers, highs around 48, southwest winds to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 35. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 48, southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, low temperatures around 42 with rain likely. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.